Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Behold and see. Is it nothing to you? These words from Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations depict the spirit of Christ in anticipating through the prophet the sorrow which was to befront him in the day of his incarnation, the day of his suffering, and the day of his death. I would today, in these few moments with the book, desire to point you to him and to that scene on the cross, and ask that you might truly behold and see the sorrow of this man of sorrows. The Lord Jesus Christ is presented to us in Holy Scripture. Particularly in the New Testament, we have four pictures of him, that is, four accounts. He is portrayed by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each of them has its particular feature, drawing some particular point out in his life and character that is emphasized for us to behold. First of all, in John 19, we notice the words of Pilate when the Savior in the hour of his sorrow was before him. We read it was a preparation of the Passover. In about the sixth hour, Pilate saith to the Jews, "Behold your king. Behold your king." Now the Lord Jesus Christ is king. He was king when he was here, king of the Jews, but he was rejected as such. You'll recall the people said, "Away with him. We have no king but Caesar." And so they rejected him. Now the gospel of Matthew is that gospel which sets him forth as king. The first 12 chapters see him rejected by those to whom he came, the people of the Jews. And then also in the entire gospel we have many accounts given of the kingdom of heaven, speaking of the sphere of profession over which he rules. In that kingdom, we notice that there are those who know him and bow to his allegiance, and those who do not. For instance, like the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. They were in the kingdom of heaven. Today, dear friend, you who may profess the name of Jesus, you are in the kingdom of heaven, in that sphere of profession. But let me ask you, have you ever beheld him as your king? Have you really bowed your heart to him and owned his authority over you? Have you given him your allegiance? Do you give him your obedience? Do you love him? Behold your king. The Gospel of Matthew, I say, presents him as such. And today I would ask that you would behold and see. He is king. He is rejected now. He's not acting as king yet, as far as the world is concerned. But the day is coming when he will reign on this earth, over Jew and Gentile alike. He will be King of kings and Lord of lords. Blessed is the one who owns him as such now. Do you? Behold your king. Back in Isaiah chapter 42, we read another scripture that suggests another gospel presentation of him. In the first verse, we read through the prophet Isaiah, "Behold my servant, says Jehovah, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. Behold my servant." God was saying this concerning his son, anticipating it again through the prophet Isaiah. But when the Lord Jesus was here, you recall, from the heavens, the voice of the Father came again and again, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," fulfilling what the prophet said, "In whom my soul delighteth." And who was Jesus? He was the servant of Jehovah. He came to serve. Think of it. Think of the grace that is displayed here, that the Son of God, God the Son, Jehovah the Son, should himself come into this world to seek and to save, to serve. It is Mark's gospel that presents him as the servant. Mark, contrary to Matthew and Luke, does not have a genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins immediately with his coming forth to be baptized of John and thus to officially begin his ministry here on earth of 3.5 years as the servant of Jehovah. The key verse of Mark's gospel is this: the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The life of the Lord Jesus was one of ministry toward others. Those 3.5 years are filled with serving his God. Immediately, straightway, characterize the Gospel of Matthew, for we see the servant doing the will of his God. But not only serving his God, but serving you and me. Tell me, dear friend, have you ever beheld him as your servant? Have you ever read the Gospel of Mark and seen him as the one that came to give his life for you? Yea, he served you even unto death. And there on the cross, I would ask that you behold him as the servant of Jehovah, one who came to serve you and who wants to serve you now. Serve you now, you ask? Yes, he wants to save you. He alone can do it. He is the one that finished the work necessary to put away your sin. And he alone can lift you from the miry clay. He alone can give you eternal life. And he wishes to do so. He is the servant of Jehovah. Will you consider him? Behold, your servant. Now, and next, again back to John, in the words of Pilate, we have another gospel brought before us in presenting Christ in another character. In verse 5, after Pilate has had the Lord before him and scourged him, the soldiers put a crown of thorns on his head. They mock him. They smite him with their hands. Pilate brings him forth and says, I find no fault in him. And then Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, and these are the words, behold the man, behold the man. See him in his hour of sorrow. Pilate does not say, behold a man. No, he designates him as the man. There is only one man, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This is the one that the Spirit of God asks that you behold. Behold him as he came into this world, born of a virgin, a man. He passed by angels, that he might become man, man of lower creation than the angels. It is man that had sinned, but it is the sons of men with whom he had delight. His love brought him here, and as man he was born, as man he grew up, as man he served, and yet not mere man. Though true man, he was not merely man. He was the unique man. He was God manifest in flesh. The man Christ Jesus. Oh, how lovely to think of him as such. Now it is the Gospel of Luke that sets him forth as the man. We see him here in his lifetime, his genealogy tracing him back to designate his manhood, and also portraying his dependence as man when here. And also we see him thus a drawing men to him. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them, the Pharisees said, holding that against him. But it was for that purpose he came. We see him also in the 7th chapter of Luke, when this woman who was a sinner, known only as such, is drawn to him because of her deep need, and is found at his feet weeping and repenting. And we see him and hear him forgiving her, blessing her, saying, thy faith has saved thee, thy sins are forgiven thee. This is the man, Christ Jesus. Oh, dear friend, behold the man. Have you ever seen him as the man, Christ Jesus? the one that is preached unto you? The Gospel of Luke presents him such. And Luke also in his writing in Acts says, Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Behold the man. Do you know the man? Do you know Jesus Christ as that one who came into this world to be man, that he might redeem you, lost, ruined, fallen man? There was no other way, no other remedy for your sin. He became man that he might give his life and death. Death had no claims upon him because he was a sinless man. He was the perfect man. But he was subject to death. He became man that he might die. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Oh, I would ask that you see the cross of Christ and the one that hung thereon. Behold the man, says Pilate. And oh, even the face of the fact that he could find no fault in him, this man was crucified. But there on the cross, in that same gospel, we hear the word that comes from a condemned thief. Both of them, both thieves at that time, had been deriding him. But after this man had cried, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, the one thief began to be repentant. And then he gave a marvelous confession, repenting of his own guilt. We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. It was this man, the man Christ Jesus, that drew the heart of the repentant thief to him. And he said, Lord, remember me. Have you ever been at Calvary thus? Have you ever asked him to remember you? I tell you, dear friend, you have to do with this man. And this man, Jesus Christ, wants to do with you. Will you not behold and see? Will you not stand at the cross today and hear him say, Father, forgive them? It's the man, Christ Jesus, who came to save sinners, that died for sinners, and he has forgiveness for you. Will you not, like the dying thief, repent of your sins? Will you not declare the sinlessness of this man, Christ Jesus? Will you not call upon him, Lord, remember me? Listen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the blessed words that came to the ears of that repentant thief from the lips of the Savior were these, Today, verily, verily, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Behold the man. There's another scripture in Isaiah, chapter 40, that gives another aspect of Christ as presented in the fourth gospel. In the 9th verse of Isaiah 40, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. The Lord Jesus Christ is King. He is servant, he is man, but I tell you, dear friend, he is God. It's the Gospel of John that particularly sets him forth as such. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If there's any question as to whom the Word is, verse 14 of that first chapter settles it. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is God, God manifest in the flesh. The entire Gospel of John is for the purpose of setting him forth as such. We see his deity in John's Gospel. Every page of that divine record just breathes of the fact that he is God. The sign miracles which he accomplishes portrays him as such. Dear friend, have you ever beheld him? Let me ask, is he your God? You recall that in the scene after his death, after his passion, we see on that resurrection day the disciples gathered together. Thomas wasn't there that day, but the Lord came into their midst through closed doors, and he said, Peace be unto you. Thomas, having heard of that experience not being there, doubted it. And he said that except he saw those wounds in his hands and feet and could put his finger into his nail prints and thrust his hand in the side, he said, I will not believe. Well, the next Lord's Day, for it was the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the disciples were again within closed doors, and Jesus was with them. Then Thomas was there. He invites Thomas to put forth his hand and his fingers, not to be faithless, but believing. What does Thomas do? Oh, we read, Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Thomas beheld and saw. Tell me, dear friend, have you had a personal acquaintance with this one? This one who is not only king, not only servant, not only man, but is God. Have you had the experience which you must have at Calvary if you are to know the blessing of salvation? Have you seen him? Behold and see. Have you realized that all the sorrow and agony and death at Calvary he endured for you, that you deserve this? Have you, in the words of Job, ever had the experience of what we read in chapter 40 of Job, when after Job had had the Lord speak to him out of the whirlwind, he spoke to his heart, he spoke to his conscience, and finally Job said, Behold, I am vile. And he put his hand upon his mouth. He was not any longer saying how good he was, or what he had done, or what he hadn't done. He had a sight of that Savior. He said, Behold, I am vile. This is where you will be brought if you'll only just for a brief moment, as it were, behold and see this one suffering for you. He is God. You are either going to accept him as Savior and Lord and own him as your God and be blessed, or else you're going to neglect him. And if you do, how will you escape his judgment? There will be no escape. Because into the hands of this one who is both man and God, the servant of Jehovah and the King, has been committed the work of judgment. You're either going to face him now in grace and receive the blessing of salvation through him. Will you not do this? Oh, I urge you, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. See him as your Savior. Accept him as the one that died for you. And then you will be blessed with eternal salvation. He still invites. He says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Let me close with quoting again the scripture from the prophet Jeremiah in his book of Lamentations. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, behold and see? Will you not do so? With the eye of faith, turn to Calvary. See him there as the one that died for you. With the eye of faith, turn to the glory and see him there, the finisher of redemption's work, the one who wants to receive you now. Behold the man living in the glory for you. And remember this, turn your eye to the future. He's coming. You're going to meet him either as your Savior and Lord, or see him as your judge, and then to be banished from his presence forever. Oh, dear friend, behold and see. May the Spirit of God prevail upon you today to by faith behold the Son of God, the Lamb of God, as your Savior. May God bless his word.